Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burton. Thank you so much for tuning into our EN channel. And as always, I want to remind you that God has got a word for you today. God has a word for you. And so let me begin our time like this. And so I want to begin by just speaking directly to the men, all right? So fellas, I'm not trying to pick a fight today. I am trying to make a point, okay? And so I'm going to begin this way. Men, David, King David, is just better than you. Don't worry, he's better than me as well, and I think I'll prove that to you, you know. So every guy has at least some kind of fight story, right? Where he got this punch in and did this. Like for example, for me, I had at hockeyfights.com, it says that I had 63 fights in my NHL career, and it estimates that I won 4 of them, okay? So I only like to talk about those 4 fights. And one of them was a guy by the name of Cam Neely. You don't know, but you know him. Cam Neely actually played Seabass in the smash hit Dumb and Dumber, right? And so Seabass in Dumb and Dumber, I actually fought him. He was a member of the Boston Bruins. We fought 3 times in 1 game. And in the first fight, man, somehow I hit him with the left and gave him a black eye, all right? We fought 2 other times. He kicked the trash out of me. I don't want to talk about those fights. But everyone's got their fight story, okay? And I don't care what your fight story, David's is just cooler than yours, all right? Because David, as a shepherd boy, he destroyed both a lion and a bear with his bare hands, okay? Can we agree? David is just cooler and better than you and better than me. That David, he would, as a young boy, he would be anointed the king of Israel. And when this anointing came upon him, here's what's crazy. David never lost a fight that he got in. And so even as a young lad, there was this enormous man. He was known as Goliath. He stood 9 foot 9 inches tall. He was arrayed in full body armor with a sword and a spear. And David takes out this fool in the name of his God, Yahweh, and with a rock. Threw a rock at that guy, man, and down he came. Can we agree that, like, David is just cooler than you and cooler than me, man? And so fellas, I'm sure you got your song with your girl, you know, when it comes on, man, you're like, oh, they're playing our tune, all right? Well, listen, David, the women of Israel, they made up songs about David, okay? They would sing that Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s, man. Like, that was on every girl's playlist in Israel. And so here's the reality, man. Men wanted to be David and women wanted to be with David. David was just cooler than you. And here's what'll bring us to our time today, but here's what's so fascinating. As awesome as David was, David knew one thing. He says that he was a nothing, a no one, a nobody without the Lord his God. In fact, you know what? He would pen Psalm 23. It's probably the most recited psalm ever. And in Psalm 23, David begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." Like he says, man, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? Is he your shepherd? And here's what makes it even cooler is that, like, David knew sheep. All his life, he was a shepherd. And so here's what he knew about sheep, man. That sheep are absolutely defenseless. Man, they got no fangs, they got no claws. There's nothing they can do to defend themselves. The fact that they're still alive on planet Earth and not extinct is a miracle of Almighty God. And it's a sign that many of them have been with the shepherd, right? And so David, this man who is never lost a fight, but he realized, hey, man, I'm defenseless without the Lord, who's my shepherd. That David knew that sheep, they're not that bright. In fact, I'll give you Exhibit A. Do you know, this is not that long ago that over in Turkey, there's a group of shepherds, and they kind of cut away from the flock in order to have breakfast. And as they did, the sheep followed one after the other and fell over the side of a mountain. One after the other, after the other, 1,500 sheep followed each other over a mountain. I guess the good news was, once they would die at the bottom of the mountain, but once the stack hit about 400, it became like a bouncy house, man. And the rest of the sheep survived because it was hitting, a cushion full of deceased sheep, okay? And so can we agree they're just not that sharp? And so David realizes, man, I'm a nothing and nobody. I'm going nowhere without the Lord, who is my shepherd. And so David knew the good shepherd. Do you? So today in our text today, we're going to talk about like two paths and two people. And here's the reality. One is the good shepherd, and one is the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's only two paths. There's not a third one. And so to say no to the good shepherd is to say yes to the thief who's going to steal, kill, and rob from you. All right? And so unfortunately, being a pastor for over 20 years now, I've got to see this scenario. People presented with an opportunity to go with the good shepherd or go with the thief, man. And people are at a crossroads. I see it front and center time and time and time again. And one in particular, there's I was asked to go on a podcast. It was called the Suffering Podcast. It was put on by two former cops. And I just have a heart for the cops, man. These guys out there protecting us and doing stuff. And so, I'm like, yes and amen. And my hope was, I was like, man, I'd be able to minister to these guys as I go on this podcast. And hopefully they'll come to know the Lord. And so one of them is a guy by the name of Kevin Donaldson. And so the other guy's name was Mike. And as we're on bantering back and forth on the podcast, it went real well. I decided to invite both men to church. And Kevin, he came to church, and at the time it was, man, COVID and all that, and everyone was masking up and that. And so as he was sitting in the congregation, he had his mask on, and he was just poker face the whole time. And I'd be preaching away, and I'm looking at the guy, and I just can poker face. I can't read him. And I'm like, does this guy hate me? Is he liking this? You know, no clue. Come to find out, man, God was doing something in his heart. And that day, he decided he was going to reconnect with the good shepherd. And here's what's so amazing. When he chose to follow the good shepherd, he led Kevin to still waters and green pastures, man. His family began to blossom, man. His career began to blossom. He authored a couple books, and it was just so refreshing to see them as he followed the good shepherd. It led him on a path that led to life. And then now if I could contrast that with Mike. Mike, we would just constantly invite him to church, man, and invite him to church. And it was always, no thank you, no thank you, no thank you. And here's what I've discovered is, man, it's always too early until it's too late. And it became too late for Michael. That he was a man, he struggled with depression. And so he just started spiraling down and down and down until finally Michael took his own life. Because the thief, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Man, but the good shepherd, he has come to bring you life and life abundant. And so we're going to be, our text today will be John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. And before we get there, I got to tell you about John chapter 9. And in John chapter 9, man, Jesus, he makes mud and heals a guy who's born blind, right? He gets his sight back. And when he does, man, the Pharisees and the Jewish authorities, they are beside themselves. Not because they glorified in the miracle, they were upset because Jesus did it on the Sabbath. And they're like, man, the guy's like, man, Jesus, he healed my eyes. And they're like, he did it on the Sabbath. And the blind man, the guy who was born blind, he's like, hey, fellas, I think you're missing the point. I was blind and now I see. And so these Pharisees and Jewish leaders, they're constantly presented with two paths. Man, to say yes to Jesus or to say no to him, which in fact says yes to the God of this world. There's two paths and two people. And so let's pick it up in John chapter 10, starting in verse 10. Jesus says this. It says, he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so let's kick this around a little bit. So Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Man, Jesus in the Gospel of John, he has a series of seven I am statements. We don't have time to get into it today, but today we see that man that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And so in Greek, there's several words for good. And so there's one word kalos and another agathos. And so here's our little Greek lesson for the day. So agathos, it means good. Like mom and dad, have you ever come home and ask your kid, hey, how was your day? Good. That's agathos. It's morally and intrinsically good. But then there's kalos. It's the same, but entirely different. And here's what it is. Man, kalos, it is a moral goodness, but there's an intrinsic beauty, a nobility. There's something unbelievably attractive about kalos. And Jesus says, me? I am the kalos shepherd, the good shepherd. There's a beauty and a nobility. There's something attractive about the person of Jesus, the good shepherd. And so if you don't believe me, man, let's just look at what this good shepherd has done for you and for me. And so do you know, it says in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 2, it says that God says to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it. I think that's Genesis chapter 1. But the idea of being fruitful and multiply. And so I don't know if you realize it, but there's all kinds of different ways where that could take place, all right? And so be fruitful and multiply. How about, the week I'm shooting this is Shark Week, right? Very cool. But did you know, like Shark Weeks, you know how they're fruitful and multiply? The male shark basically attacks the female, bites her, leaves multiple scars on her body, mates and then takes off, all right, leaving her kind of a bloody mess. How many know that is, it's agathos. Good, I guess. It got the job done. But for you women, if you're upset with that example, we could also look to the black widow and the praying mantis, who the female, after she receives the seed from the male, proceeds to eat the male, okay? All right? Once again, I guess that would be agathos. And for you and I, there could have been a myriad of ways that we were fruitful and multiply. If you've ever seen the movie Gremlins, you remember what happens, man? Gremlin, a little bit of water get on the gremlin, and what happens? They reproduce. I mean, God could have done that. That stork thing, right, where the stork comes and brings, that could have been true, all right, but it wasn't. In fact, it's something unbelievably kind of beautiful and wonderful. In fact, we write movies and novels. We write music about this beauty that takes place when a man and a woman come together as one. They give themselves. They become spiritually and emotionally and physically one, and it's something beautiful, and it's God's ideas, because he is the kalos shepherd. Let me give you another one. How about food? Man, food is a good kalos gift from God, the good shepherd. Like food, do you know that, like God, for us to receive nourishment, he could have done that thing like in The Matrix, you remember that? Where they just kind of put a tube, stick a tube into you, and kind of some nutrient-rich goo is fed into your insides. Like that could have been a thing. But it's not, is it? Like that God, the kalos shepherd, he gave you taste buds. He gave you all these different colors, plants, and foods to eat and to enjoy. And sometimes we put them together in different combinations, and they're fantastic. And like I don't know, have you ever had a steak? Man, like that ribeye steak, just dripping, medium rare, just delicious. Or come on, have you ever smelt bacon before? And so I don't know if you've seen either of those two animals before. I think we have an image of them growing up. And there's nothing, when you look at those two animals, you're like, oh, I bet they're delicious, right? You don't. But what? That God, in his goodness, the kalos shepherd, man, they're absolutely delicious. And so as we talk about the goodness of God and just a simple grace like food, there's just something magical about a meal, isn't there? Like if someone, there's someone special in your life, or someone does something special, what do? We gather around food, and there's something magical about it. That holidays, they center around a meal, right? And there's something to this day, we associate the smell and the taste of things with kind of these moments of celebration. We've devoted entire TV networks, man, to the glory and to the magic of food. And it's nothing but a good gift from the Kalos shepherd, right? And now if we could be just even a little bit more serious, do you know that the good shepherd, that he's so beautiful in his goodness, that he condescended and he became a man, Emmanuel, God with us. Why would he do that? There's a number of reasons, but not the least of which is that he was able to experience what it is to be human, that he's able to be an empathetic and a sympathetic high priest, to understand and help carry our burdens. And there's a beauty to that. So let me illustrate it this way, man. I was ChatGPT and some stuff, and I stumbled across this video of a woman who is, she's been diagnosed with cancer, and she's about ready to get her hair shaved off. And it was so moving to her barber that he decided to step into her suffering. Check it out.
Only love can hurt like this.
Wasn't there like a beauty to that? How that gentleman, he condescended and walked through in her suffering. And Jesus, he did the same for you and for me. And he not only became a man to understand and empathize and know that it's difficult to be us, but he didn't stop there. That he went to the cross, he bore our sins, and he died the death that we should have died. And he rose again on the third day. And now the good shepherd, he returns. And he tells us this, follow me. Are you following the Kalos, the good shepherd? And so in our text, it actually contrasts then between the good shepherd and there's a thief that seeks to steal, to kill, and destroy. And so I think if we think about it historically, man, there's some real obvious things that take place, man, like death and disease and destruction, hatred, oppression, all these different things. We look at that and we go, oh, man, that is the thief that's come to steal and kill and destroy from our life. And they absolutely are. Man, they're the fruit from the God of this world. But you know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that the serpent, the devil, he was more subtle than the other beasts of the field. In other words, there's a sneakiness, there's a hiddenness to the serpent. And I would submit to you, man, that the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy sometimes in ways that are so subtle we don't realize that he's doing it to us. And so for example, the idea of steal, that word in the Greek is the word klepto. It's where we get the word kleptomaniac, right? And the word klepto, it means to secretly take from you, and you don't even realize you're being robbed. And so Satan, he comes and he kleptos from you and from me. And so sometimes it looks wildly different. It's not giving you cancer or death, disease, or poverty, but sometimes the devil, He gives you everything you want, and he'll absolutely rob what's crucial for you in your life. And so sometimes the enemy, man, he'll steal from you by making you wildly successful in your career. Man, you just climb the ladder over and over, and you experience so much success that if you're not careful, that you start to find your identity, your sense of worth tied up in your career. And in so doing, man, your career becomes an idol to you. And you bow at the altar, man, of your career. And what you do, you'll sacrifice your family, your marriage, your health, and your faith on the altar of sacrifice to your career. See, and before you know it, man, everything that's truly important in life will have been taken from you, will have been kleptoed from you. I remember watching Amy Winehouse. Do you remember Amy Winehouse? She's a 6-time Grammy Award winner. And do you know, as a young woman, she would walk the streets of England, and she just had this, she just so wanted to be famous and hit it big, and until eventually, man, she got everything she wanted, and she found it just didn't satisfy, and she got caught up into the drug culture and trying to numb and just to so feelings of inadequacy, imposter syndrome don't pop up, and with all that, in this documentary, it got to her last night on planet Earth. And she was actually YouTubing. She was a little bit high, watching her old performances. And her bodyguard was being interviewed. And he said, yeah, man, she was watching her old performances. And there she just kept echoing, I can sing. I can really sing. And he's like, of course you can. You're Amy Winehouse. And then she strolled over to the window and looked out the window. And she said, I would give all of this if I could just go back out there and walk the streets like a normal person. Do you see that? She got everything she thought would make her happy, and it became a crushing weight that the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He comes to kill, like here's what I know, and I've seen this firsthand, is he will kill people by dying a slow death, and having them chase comfort, ease, and pleasure at the expense of purpose, meaning, and destiny. And so, listen, I don't think I have to argue this point at all. Sin is fun. Like if sin is not fun, you're doing it wrong, okay? But here's the thing. Sin, it starts to morph and mutate over time. And so here's what happens. It takes more and more to satisfy less and less. And so I'll illustrate this way. You know, there I have a man, my prized golden retriever, man, was Dakota. Dakota, he was just my best buddy, man. But he had a fetish. He would eat socks. Like, yes, I said eat socks. And so I remember one time I was prepping a message, and I was like, Lord, I need an illustration. And my dog, I could tell he starts going, that means he's going to barf. So, man, I opened the sliding door, kicked him out on the deck, and there, sure enough, blah, and he threw up a sock. And then, just when I thought he was done, blah, there's the pair, okay? And before I could go out and grab him, that dog gobbled that trash back up again and ate it down. And so, listen, here's what doesn't make sense to me. Man, he ate that thing. It didn't satisfy. He vomited up, and then he had this bright idea. Hey, it didn't satisfy the first time. Maybe this time it'll work. And I just quoted to you the Proverbs. That in Proverbs 26, it says, like a dog returning to his vomit, so the fool to his folly. And how many times we keep going back and drinking from wells that never satisfy. And so I've seen people that just chase ease and pleasure and comfort when you've been created, man, for purpose, destiny. And so you'll consume and consume and consume until eventually you are consumed by the thing that consumes you. If you're not getting this, turn it like VH1. If you've ever seen those things behind the music, it's the same story over and over and over again. Man, these rockers and band members, they get together, they hit it big, and they start pursuing pleasure, man, running at it, head first, full bore, right? And as they do, man, they get trapped in this endless cycle until they're no longer consuming, but they're consumed by their pursuit of pleasure and drugs and parties and whatnot, and their world, it implodes, all right? Did you know that Harvard did an 87-year study, and they're trying to get the root of the secret to happiness? And afterwards, they wrote a book about, I think it was called The Secret of Happiness. And in it, like, the critical point was is that we all need life-giving relationships around us, that happiness doesn't result from money, from success, from health. None of those things, they're secondary. Primary is the relationships we had in our life. But they quoted something interesting that you know what? That adversity leads to greater joy. Doesn't that sound counterintuitive? That adversity, it leads to greater joy. And here's the thing. You've been designed by God for a purpose. Not only just to be fruitful and multiply, but God told Adam in the garden, you're to work it and to keep it, that we've been designed, man, and to work and to push against things. And as we do and we accomplish, we look back in the rearview mirror and we're like, it's good. It's good. I did that, man. What? And joy increases in your life. There's a guy, Rod Brind'Amour, Rod the Bod. He's the coach for the now world champion Carolina Hurricanes of the National Hockey League. And Coach Brind'Amour, he did something odd that his players couldn't quite comprehend. And so he's a bit of a workout nut. And so the team, when they're doing their kind of like daily workout routine, at the end of every workout, Coach Brind'Amour made them pick up a 35-pound cinder block. And when they were done working out, they had to grab that cinder block, press it over their head, bring it down again, and then their workout was officially completed. And they're like, why do we do this? Why do we do this? Why do we do this? None of it made sense until they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals this past season. And then when they upset the Las Vegas Golden Knights and they won the Stanley Cup, each player, when they picked up that Stanley Cup, it weighed 35 pounds, the weight of that cinder block. Man, and every time, man, life is difficult and hard, man, just know that your good, gracious Father, He's preparing you for a greater joy in your life. God created you to do hard things, right, for the good of the world, for God's glory. And the promise is this, is that one day, man, like that trophy, like Paul says, you're going to receive a crown of glory. And so the thief comes to steal, to kill, and then lastly, to destroy. It simply means to bring to eternal ruin. And what will happen, man, the God of this world will have you chase sin, man, depravity, all these different things. And then he'll lead you to believe that you've out-sinned the cross of Christ. And it's just not true. Just not true. But notice, he says that the good shepherd, he has come to bring abundance of life. Abundance, it just means, man, beyond measure, a super abundance of life. And that word, like, once again, sorry, I'm geeking out on the Greek here, but, you know, there's several words for life, and, like, one of them is bios. It's where we get the word biology. It means to be alive, okay? So there's bios. That's not this word. Jesus came to give abundant zoe. Zoe is truly living. It's the God kind of life, right? And it's something we all want. In fact, if you're familiar with the Apostle John, he uses the word zoe, the God kind of life, more than any other author in your scriptures. And here's what's crazy, that he was so in tune with the zoe, the life of God in the inside of him. Here's what's crazy. You know, all the disciples died a martyr's death, except for John. Do you know what? When Rome arrested him and they were going to martyr him, they attempted to dip him in a vat of boiling oil. They dipped him in. He wouldn't die. Like, there was so much zoe on the inside of him, he wouldn't die. It freaked them out so much that they exiled him to the island of Patmos. They're like, we don't know what to do with this guy, okay? And so that is the power of zoe. And then the good shepherd, he has come to give you an abundance of zoe. And so, listen, do you know that, like, there's several commands in your scripture, like the Ten Commandments? Do you know that's not God just kind of flexing, and he's like, because I said so? That is God guiding you into Zoe. Man, the commands of God always lead to human flourishing. And so we get that, man, thou shalt not lie. Hey, man, because the reality is, hey, don't lie. And I promise you, man, your life is going to go better. Hey, don't sleep with your neighbor's wife, okay? Don't do that, all right? Has that ever gone well for anybody, worked out in the end? Never, it never does. How about, man, don't steal. Here's the reality. You're going to get caught, and then if you don't get caught, man, you're going to constantly not be able to enjoy the thing you took because you're worried about being caught the whole time. Do you see what I mean? None of it leads to Zoe, and God's trying to lead you into the Zoe, that best life possible. So there's the poster child for atheists is a guy by the name of Richard Dawkins, and he wrote a book, The God Delusion, right? And so he's just kind of always, man, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God with that. And so, but here's what recently he did admit to. He says, I call myself a cultural Christian. I don't believe in Christ. I don't believe in God. But I think the way Christians live, it's the highest and the best way to live life. And do you see what's happening? Like, he's bumping in to God's word and ways. It leads us into Zoe. I've said this one for years. Like, it cracks me up when I see kind of a man, just our culture and things catch up with the Bible. Not that long ago, the Wall Street Journal had this cutting edge op-ed that, man, they found out that, do you know, if you'll take one day off, man, unplug from the world and your phone and all these different things and just be and rest, that you'll live longer, be happier. I think that's called the Sabbath, bro. You know, Harvard Business School. After just years of research, here's what they discovered. Like, somehow, some way that generosity is kind of woven into the fabric of the universe. Like so counterintuitively, all the research showed them that, you know what, when you give a portion of your money away, somehow, some way, you seem to get more money back. So I think I've heard of that principle before, okay? And then here's one more for good measure. Joseph Unwin. He's a PhD at Oxford, and so I believe he's a sociologist. And so he studied thousands and thousands of years of societies and cultures from around the globe. And here's what he came to this conclusion. He said, the single most influential factor in a civilization's longevity, here it is prenuptial chastity. In other words, man, no sex before marriage, coupled with postnuptial monogamy. That marriage is between a man and a woman forever, okay? I'm like, huh, that's how society flourishes? I think I've heard that all the way back in Genesis 2, and God said that, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Do you see it? Man, that the words and ways of God are designed, man, to lead us into Zoe, the best life possible. But I don't want to mislead you. Like Zoe isn't found in following a bunch of rules and doing stuff. It's not even found in, you know, being healthy or happy or having a great marriage. Though those things can be a part of Zoe. Zoe is less a thing, and it's more of a person. Zoe is a person. In John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus says this, and this is eternal life. And this is eternal Zoe, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Do you see that? And Jesus is like, hey, Zoe, life, full eternal life. It's not, heaven's not a place. Heaven is a person. It's knowing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so there's an odd book in your Old Testament. It's called Habakkuk. And the word Habakkuk, it actually means to wrestle. And in it, the prophet Habakkuk, he's wrestling with God because he's asking this question, man, why does a God allow evil and injustice? And how come, man, bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people? And so he's having this wrestle with God until finally he gets to the end of the book and he has this, he comes to this revelation that, man, though my world might be on fire, as long as I have the Lord, man, I'm good. I'm good. He says in Habakkuk 3:17, he says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Do you know that thousands of years later, the Apostle Paul would say it's the same thing, but just a little bit different. He says this in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, man, as long as I have the good shepherd in my life, I'm prepared and I can face anything and everything life throws at me. Do you know the good shepherd? Let me close our time this way. I think we're going to throw an image on the screen here. This is an image of Barak. Barak. Believe it or not, there's a sheep somewhere underneath all that fleece. Barak was actually lost. I believe it was for close to 6 years. And so Barak decided, hey, I'm no longer going to be with the flock and the good shepherd. I'm going to go it alone, go it on my own. And then when you look at him, I don't know if you see, man, he's barely recognizable as a sheep. And with all that fur, it was roughly 80 pounds of fleece on him. And so feel this with me. Man, he's carrying all that weight with him. It weighs so much that he can barely lay down to rest for fear he can't get back up again. That when they found him, his hooves were so overgrown that every step he took was exceedingly painful. That he could barely see because there were parasites all trapped in his eyes from all the muck and the feces that was around his fur that covered his eyes. And so he was suffering and he was in pain until the good shepherd found him. And when the good shepherd found him, man, they cleaned him up. Man, they shaved off all that nasty wool. And I think we have an image of what he looks like now. Man, Barak looking lean and mean. And why? It's because the good shepherd found him. And I guess here's my prayer, man, that the good shepherd would find you. That, listen, there's two paths. There's two people. There's not a third way. And you have a choice that you can love and fully follow the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, and experience the Zoe kind of life. Or to say no to Jesus is to say yes to the thief who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. The choice is yours. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, God. Thank you so much for your word. Lord, that your word is true and tried and profitable. I thank you, Jesus, that you are indeed the Kalos shepherd, that you are the good shepherd. And Lord, I pray for those that don't know you this morning. Oh God, may there just be a reckoning today. Lord, we're men and women that they bow their knee to Jesus as their Lord and their good shepherd. Lord, may they follow you, pursue you, chase after you all the days of their life. And may they experience the Zoe, the God kind of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listen, every nation, the sermon's over with. We're not quite finished. Can I remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and your giving? Tithe that simply means a tenth, and we believe that the first tenth of everything that comes in, we give it back to the Lord as a form of worship and thanks to the good and gracious God. And we trust that as we honor God, that he's going to honor us and care for us because he's a good shepherd. There's three ways you can give. Go to our website, encnj.org. Just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. It's how my family and I give. Super easy and convenient. If you text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977. Lastly, you could mail your check or money order right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. Every nation, Jesus loves you. And I think you're pretty incredible too. Have an amazing week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.